Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Good morning, Dr. Josh. What I wanted to deal with today is a very important question in Judaism. How do I come off and say it's a very important question? Simply because I heard it from my own Rebbe, Rav Lichtenstein. When he gave a shiur on this topic, he said, this is an extremely important topic throughout the Torah. And it was very rare for him to say that because we always thought that he thought everything was important. But for him to actually point out that this was important, indeed, my ears opened much wider. And the topic is, do you have to check out the facts? We know in Halacha that we have two ways of determining if something is forbidden or permissible. The first way is to check the facts, and based on the factual information, you can come to the conclusion that it's usur or mutter. But there's another way, and that is, anybody know? I'll throw around the terms. Rov, chazaka, namely, we didn't check the facts, but we could assume that the majority of cases are like this. For example, when you shecht a chicken, you know very well that there are many trefos, and yet we only check for one. And we'll see later why. But what do we say about the other, let's say, 18 of them or 17 of them? We say there's a chazaka, there's a rove, there's some sort of a majority, that the majority of these cases don't need to be checked out because they're usually permissible. So, based on this introduction, if you look at the source sheet, let's see what exactly led me to this question. What led me to this question is the topic on the top of the source sheet, and that is I was in shul. As usual in shul, it brings out the best of the worst in people. A chazan got up to daven. As you know, we're all social distancing. We all have masks on. So we can't necessarily talk to our neighbor in shul. So we're sitting there, ultra bored, until the chazan puts on the talis and says ashrei. Well, as we're waiting, the chazan comes along, takes the talis and puts it on. And someone screams out, you didn't check the tzitzis. The truth of the matter is, him checking the tzitzis wouldn't make a difference because he also didn't make a bracha. We'll deal with that some other time. But he didn't check the tzitzis. And the question is, do you need to check the tzitzis? Or, what can we assume? You don't need to check it, but rather, the majority of talasim that we put on, the tzitzis are kosher. So there's no reason to check it prior to making a bracha. So with that in mind, let's see different cases. If you look on the top right of the source sheet, you'll see. The Shulchan Aruch paskins with regard to checking the chametz. Hasocher bayit mechavero, b'yud dalet, ve'ino yodea im hu baduk, im hu ba'ir, sho'olo im batko. Ve'im eino ba'ir, cheskato baduk, u'mevatlo bilbilvo, vadayo. Says the Shulchan Aruch, on the 14th day of Pesach, he started your rent, 14th day of Nisan, you started your rental agreement. Indeed, you don't know if the house was clean for chametz or not. So, if the person who owns the apartment is around, you can check and ask him. And if he's not around, you don't need to ask him. You can assume that the chazaka says that by the 14th day of Nisan, all Jewish homes are checked. So you check when you can, and if you can't, you can rely on the majority rule saying that it's checked. Another example, Shulchan Aruch, regarding a shochet. As you know, we Jews usually associate milichix with mourning, 9 days, and therefore, we like meat. Says the Shulchan Aruch, afil ve'in kirotosh she muchzak lishchot, ve'gam en yodim bo shehu mumchev yodeh lichot shchita, mutar litenu lechatchila lishchot, umatar le'echol mishchitato, sherova regilin lishchot, hem v'cheskat mumchin u'muchzakin. Bamed varim amorim b'sheino lefaneinu. So, you buy chicken from the store, or now, during Corona, we buy chicken from the computer, online, it comes to your house, there's a stamp on it, do you need to check if the shochet is a good shochet? The answer is, if he's around, yes. And if he's not around, no. So we see that in two different cases, one with regard to checking chametz on the night of the 14th, and the other about a shochet, we indeed check if possible. But if not possible, we rely on the chazaka that most people that have the shechting knife and check and shecht the chickens, are indeed good shochtim. Okay? So you check when you can, and if you can't, you rely on the chazakah. Okay? Let's go on. Let's see other cases. Good morning, Dr. Mr. Weiser. Great to see you. Good morning. I'll continue. Okay. The Shulchan Aruch says on the middle source, Avalim lo zak liyot, meimav mitmatin kol kach shiamol apachod me'arveim se'af, al pishe pa'amim meimav olim u'pa'amim mitmatin, einal tzachim lachzor v'litvol u'mikom v'kom kasher adavar la'yen kolim tfila im yesh barbeim se'af. So says the Shulchan Aruch with regard to a mikveh has to have at least 40 se'af of water, kosher water. How do you know if there's, and the mikvah, excuse me, has to also be stationary. Namely, if the water moves out of the mikvah, what the talacha calls it's not be'ashboren, then the mikvah's puzzle. It has to be stationary and can't go ahead and trickle out. So, we all know that when you look at a pool, you know, it looks full, but there's a little, you know, some sort of a trickling out, the water goes down a touch. So you need to check the mikveh each time you go in to make sure that it's kosher. Says the Shulchan Aruch, no. If you built it properly and you put in the Arba'im Se'ah, it's fine. From time to time, it's kasher adavar, it's a nice thing. But you don't have to check every single day if the water is going down. And that, in general, is the halacha that regulates our mikveh. Now let's just put this into perspective here. Not going to mikveh, or a kosher mikveh for that matter, could be an iser karet. Not eating kosher meat is an iser lav. Not checking chametz is a derabbanan, because you do bitul chametz. So quite frankly, it's very interesting that the Shulchan Aruch says, when it comes to an iser karet, we rely on the chazaka. When it comes to a lav, and when it comes to a derabbanan, best to check, and only if you can't, you can rely on the chazakah. And just to finish this introduction, let's look at the last case on the left side of the source sheet on the top. Tfilin shehuchzaku bekashrut, and amtzichim dika le'olam. We learned this once around this table. If you have tfilin, it was made properly, the tfilin are closed, you never have to check it. Only if you have reason to believe that it became puzzle, you have to check it. But if you don't have reason to believe that it became puzzle, you don't. So as we see here, there's no consistency. It doesn't depend on the severity of the aveira involved. Namely, even if it's of the karet, like not going to a kosher mikvah, the Shulchan Aruch says you don't have to check. Not wearing tefillin every day, it's a mitzvah asi de oraita, and we say you don't have to check. But when it comes to a derabbanan and a shochet, best to check, if not, not. So the question is, how do we plug this into our particular case of tzitzis? Well, if you look at the Rishonim, the Rashi says, "Desamich arova hecha delo efshar," and the Ramban says, "She'en lismocha kayotze berov ze, kozman she'efshar la'amod alav." Says Rashi and the Ramban, you can rely on all the chazakas in the world on one condition. What's the condition? What's the condition that you rely on a rov, that the majority of shochet?
It had to be checked at least once.
No, that's not what he says. Check again. He doesn't say once. He says check, but when? All the time, as long as you can. If you can check the facts, why rely on a chazakah and a rov? Check the facts. Check it out. For example, you have a kitchen, and the kitchen has milchik and fleishik dishes, and the fleishik dishes are red, and the milchik dishes are blue, and someone says, I can't remember. You check out the facts. So if you have a shochet here, check them out. Only when you can check out, you go and rely on chazakas. But the minute you can check, forget about all the chazakas in the world. There's no majority, there's no chazakas, nothing. You check it out. Okay? On the other hand, if you look on the left...
You should check in tefillin every day then.
No. According to these Rishonim, even if you check your tefillin every day, you have to remember, Harold, that you can only check the outside of it to make sure it's black and to make sure it's square. but you don't know what's happening inside. So that's a typical case, says Rashi, that you can't. You just can't. You can't sew the tefillin every day anew. And therefore, if you can't, you can't. You rely on the chazakah, that the tefillin were made kosher. But with regard to the black straps, with regard to the squareness of the batim, says Rashi and the Ramban, if you could check, you check. On the other hand, if you look on the left side of the source sheet, there's another Rashi. Rashi says, "Acharei Rabim lehatot mashba ben ruva de ita kaman uve ruda de leita kaman de maishna hay mihay ve aha milta samchinan ve lo batkinan kol yedchei treifot ve nekuvat areya mishum de shachiach bereuta batkinan." Says Rashi in a different place in Shas, it doesn't depend on can you check or can't you check. After all, if you have to check for all 18 things that would render a chicken treifa, not only would the price go up, we'd barely have chickens because it would take not double the time, 18 times the time to check it. We only check one thing in the chicken and only one thing in an animal. What do we check?
Lungs.
Lungs. Why do we only check lungs? Explains Rashi, and indeed the Ramban echoes it, that the only time you have to check is when you have what's called a mi'ut hanikar. Namely, you have a small yet substantial minority that makes you check. So therefore, when you take an animal, 17 of the treifas are not a mi'ut hanikar. Just to give you a figure, so Rav Yashiv and others have said that it's between 7 to 10%. So if you have 7 and 10%, it's far less than a majority. And yet, it's a substantial minority. We all know from the Knesset that even if you're a minority, you can have a big mouth. You can become substantial. You'll be in the news at night because you opened your big mouth and you screamed and you yelled. So says Rashi in the Ramban, you only have to check when there's a mi'ut hanikar, when you have 7 to 10% of the cases, that the animal's no good, or in our case, houses were not clean for Pesach, or in our case of the tzitzis are not tied properly. But if it's less than that, you don't have to check. So according to what we've learned until now, it seems very clear that there's no clear-cut rule. We saw different cases at the beginning of Shir, Bedikat Chametz. We saw the case of the Shochet, the Mikvah, as well as the Tefillin. And we have two main ideas in Rishonim. And that one is, you always check if you can. And the other idea is, you only check if you have a mi'ut hanikar. 7 to 10% of the cases are indeed ones that require you to check. But if they're less than that, you don't have to check. You can somecha on the chazaka. So after this introduction, gentlemen, let's go to our tzitzis. How does this plug in to our tzitzis? Look at the Torah. The Torah says as follows. V'yayen hatzitzit kodem lachen, shiyu shlemim, shiim nitkalkel echad mihem, hu bracha levatola. Says the Torah that you have to check your tzitzis before making a bracha on the talis, or your talit katan. Why? Because one of the strings may not be kosher. If it's not kosher, you can't make a bracha. You can't even wear it because you have a four-cornered garment without tzitzis. So according to the Torah, very simple, you check. Why do you check? Either because it's a mi'ut hanikar or because you can. Whatever the reason is, you check. His father, the Rosh, doesn't necessarily agree. His father, the Rosh, says in his small halachos of tzitzis at the end of Menachot. Does anybody here know why in Menachot we deal with Hilchot Tzitzis? Anybody learn Menachot here? No one? I'll tell you why. Because in Menachot it deals with Korbanot. As they're dealing with Korbanot, they say, what happens if you have two Korbanot? Which one goes first? And they say, Tadir v'sheino Tadir, Tadir Kodem. Whatever you do more frequently goes first. But on the other hand, Kol HaMikudash Mechavero, Kodem Lechavero. Whatever's more sanctified goes first. So a Korban Chatat is more sanctified than an Ola. Make a long story short, since the Gemara is already talking about precedence, it says, well, we go to Shul every day, and we put on a talis, and we put on tefillin. Which goes first? And like a typical Gemara, if we're already talking about this, Let's bring all the halachos of tefillin and tzitzis, all in Masechet Menachot. So they had a nice commercial break in the middle of Menachos, and it deals with tzitzis and tefillin. That's the ultra going on a tangent par excellence. I know very, very many lecturers that go on a tangent for a minute, for two. Here it goes on a tangent for many, many dapim. Anyway, in Masechet Menachot, at the end, since we're talking about tzitzis and tefillin, the Rosh wrote a very interesting little pamphlet called Halachot Ktanot, small little halachas. And there he says, not that you have to check the tzitzis before you wear them, but rather, Hacharei d'dvar Hashem yivdok batzitzis, kol dematifa, kedei shelo yivarech bracha levatala. Says the Rosh, if you're very, very concerned with your observance of Jewish law, you should check your tzitzis, but he doesn't say it's an obligation like his son the Torah said. Why do you have to check it? Says the Torah, Rosh, so it wouldn't be a bracha levatala, asher kedishanu mitzvot avitzivanu, either al mitzvah tzitzit or al lihitatef betzitzis, shouldn't be a bracha levatala. That's the reasoning of the Rosh, but no have to. And indeed, the Rosh in his responsum says, nobody checks tzitzit. It's not done. Mishum demokinat le becheskas kashrus. Just like it's filling, once it's made, it has a cheskas kashrus. So too, your talis. And he adds other reasons why you don't have to check it. He says that the law, the bottom line is that in order to make tzitzis totally not kosher for a bracha, it's not enough to have a little problem. For example, I wear tzitzis that has five knots. I wear tzitzis with five knots. So I wear techeles, and I wear tzitzis. Says the Rosh, well, even if you have just one knot, it would be okay for a bracha. It's not the best, but it's okay. Even if you have one string ripped, it would be okay. Even if the chelik left, but the lovins instead, it would be okay. So to get to a bracha levatala, it's very, very rare. So therefore, you have a cheskas kashrus. Explains the Bach, quoting this Rosh, the Bach, Rav Yoel Sirkis, father-in-law of the Taz. We're dealing with the generation of the Beit Yosef. Everybody knows the Beit Yosef wrote the House of Yosef. The Bach didn't like everything that was in there. So he wrote an alternative interpretation. And in the very name of it, he called it Bayit Chadash, the new house. Mainly the Beit Joseph's the old house, the old shabby house. You know, the one with no parking, the one that has walls peeling. I have the new house. Later on, his daughter marries the Taz, and the Taz disagrees with him. As a matter of fact, in my humble opinion, I never checked, but I believe that the saying, with all due respect, comes from the Taz. You all know when someone says, with all due respect, what comes next?
No respect.
There you go, Dr. Sevier. No respect. So the Taz, disagreeing with his father-in-law, the Bach, many a time said, with all due respect, I disagree with him totally. So the Bach comes along and wants to explain why you don't have to check tzitzis according to the Rosh. He says the following: the molkim dan cheskas kashrut and it's a midat chasidut. V'achim mashma b'tshuvat haRosh, etc. Says the Bach very simply: once you've made the tzitzis, they have a cheskas kashrut like tefillin. You don't have to check it. However, others want to say,
what happens if it tears off at the base? You don't have really. One of the tzitzis, one of the tails of where the knots are, you have no fringe or kedid, whatever.
Indeed, if you see it's ripped off at the base, you don't have a four-cornered garment with tzitzis. That's a dead giveaway that you don't make a bracha on it. But for that to happen, it's rare, and therefore you don't have to check it every day. Anyway, the Shivat Zion. Before preparing this shiur, I didn't hear from it. I didn't hear the name Shivat Zion in reference to a book. But we're talking about the son of the Nodebi Yehuda. He died in 1834. The son of the Nodebi Yehuda wrote a book called Shivat Zion. And he says, like we said in the name of Rashi and the Ramban, when you could check and it doesn't take too much off your time, check. But if you can't, you don't have the time, it's a tircha, you don't have to check. Namely, I put on my talis in the morning. It takes exactly 5 seconds to look at the strings to make sure they're there. You should do it. But checking tefillin, checking your house from chametz, that takes much longer. It's a tircha, and therefore you don't have to check it. So we have 3 points of view on tzitzis. One is you don't have to check it. The other is, might be a good idea, midat chasidus. And the third is, you have to. Let's see. Pardon?
Why do we generally check mezuzahs twice in 7 years?
I'm sorry?
Why do we check mezuzahs twice in 7 years? Why not chas kashrus there?
So we once gave a shiur on it, but on one leg, plug it into what we said today. It could very well be that the chazakah is not as strong with regard to a mezuzah, because you have to remember, mezuzahs are not put in the best places for the mezuzah. Someone put it on door coming into the house, and therefore they're subject to bad weather. Not to mention hot and cold. All these things can hurt the parchment. So the halacha was that indeed, twice in 7 years, maybe the chazakah goes down. The probability of it being not kosher goes up.
Yeah, but when you unroll it, you're going to make for sure that it's not kosher.
Why?
Chances are pretty good that when you unroll a mezuzah, the ink is going to chip, there's going to be problems. But maybe you didn't. I know you disagree.
I disagree because I've checked my mezuzahs twice in 7 years, and the vast majority were fine. Here and there I had a question, and it turned out that it wasn't a question. But no, I don't think that the mezuzahs all are no good just because you check. But if indeed you're right, then you have to check it, because you don't have mezuzahs on your house.
No, what I'm saying is the fact of unrolling it causes the problem.
Oh, the actual unrolling? There's an art. Now I understand. So, indeed, there's an art to unrolling the mezuzahs in such a way that you don't, God forbid, ruin them. But you're right. That could be a very big problem. I'll tell you a very interesting story with that. This is like a typical story of someone, you do them a favor, and they go ahead and they repay you by doing you an actual nezek, damage. I was in shul one morning, and a gentleman comes in. He says he forgot his tefillin and doesn't have the key to his house. So I gave him my tefillin and I said, give it back later. And he took it. He said, thank you. He gave it back later. The next morning I put it on and I notice, I don't look every day. We just learned you don't have to. But I noticed that by the batim, one of the ksharim, one of the knots, the paint, the black paint was coming out. It's a halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai to ensure that your tefillin are black. So I'm looking at it, and it looked like someone scraped it. So I called this gentleman, and I said, did you by any chance touch the knot? Yeah, I had to make it shorter. I said, and how exactly did you take the knot out of the knot? Oh, I use what every Jew uses. Any good Orthodox Jew that wears a kippah has one tool that fits them all. What's that?
Kippah clip.
There you go, a tipa clip. That's when you're in shul. If you're at home, you can have all the tools in the world. You always use a knife. But in shul, you didn't have the knife. So he used the tipa clip. So he took the tipa clip, he dug in, by digging in, he chipped off the paint, and he left it this way. So that's a case in which, indeed, doing a mitzvah can create a situation, like you said, unrolling it chipped the letters. In my case, giving out your tefillin made the tefillin a bit not kosher. In any case, make a long story short, how did the poskim paskin on this shaila? We see that the Rosh says you don't have to, the Torah says you have to, comes along the Taz and says as follows. Rak mishum chumra delo tisa hichmiru dafka levodko. Namely, because we say a brocha on the talis, we should check it, because it might be a bracha levatala, saying God's name in vain in reference of a bracha. Now everybody here knows, bracha levatala is not d'oraisa probably. There's a big machlokas in Rishonim. The reason is that d'oraisa, you're not doing anything wrong. Namely, if Arthur wants to make a statement, thank you God for commanding me to light the Hanukkah candles this morning. Is that a false statement? No, it's a truthful statement. Came along the Chachamim and said, no, you can only say it when you actually are about to do the mitzvah. But it's not a false statement. A false statement would mean, God, you have commanded us to eat pig. A true statement is, you commanded me to take a lulav. Indeed, it's not today, it's later on in life.
I have a question to ask.
Yeah.
You know, you say you check your mitzvah every twice in 7 years.
Your mezuzahs, not your tefillin, yeah.
Yeah, I'm talking, yeah. But I live in an apartment.
Yeah?
Nothing comes in. Nobody's going to do anything to it. Why do we have to check it?
The reason is because the mezuzah is not something that you use every day, almost every day. It's just put there. And when something's stationary, there's much more of a chance that it will become, unfortunately, puzzle. For example, a Sefer Torah that you don't use frequently will probably become puzzle. A Sefer Torah needs to breathe. That's the rule of the thumb. Therefore, in shuls, if you're careful, you try to use all the Sefer Torah during the year, because if you don't move the Torah, it does become puzzle. I know shuls where they like have one Torah for Maftir, for Parshas Pinchas, and they take it out on Rosh Chodesh, and they take it out on Yom Tovim, and therefore it's always on the same part. The once in a blue moon on Simchas Torah, when they take it out and they read something else, they find out letters of puzzle. Anyway, getting back to our story, the Taz and the Mishnah Berurah say you shouldn't have to check it if you didn't make a bracha. So, we don't make a bracha on eating kosher chicken, we don't make a bracha on many different things, like, so therefore you don't have to check. But if you make a bracha, you should check. So tzitzis per se do not have to be checked. It's only because you make a bracha first. So case scenario, if you put on your tzitzis and you didn't make a bracha, you wouldn't have to check it. When do you put on your tzitzis and you don't make a bracha? One is every day, and one is unfortunately in certain circumstances. Every day, you put on your tzitzis and you put on your talis. Minhag Yisrael, based on poskim, is to only make a bracha on the talis. So when you put on the tzitzis, you have in mind the talis. So when you put on the tzitzis, you're not making a bracha, you don't have to check. Or, unfortunately, an onain, or someone, not an onain, but Tisha B'Av mourning, we put on our tzitzis, but we don't make a bracha, you would not have to check it according to the Taz. Opinion number one. Opinion number two is the Bach. The Bach comes and says, throughout Halacha, here's the ironclad rule. If it's something that God created, and in its natural state, it's perfect, then you don't have to check. It's a chazaka that God created it properly. But anything that's man-made, you have to check. Why do you have to check something that's man-made? Because who knows if it's perfect? I always say, perfection exists in this world in one place. Where does perfection exist? In the dictionary. There's a word in the dictionary, perfection. Outside of that, I haven't yet found a perfect person. I haven't yet found someone that has a perfect marriage. And I also didn't yet find someone that has a perfect community to live in. If there was such a thing, I'd move there. So perfection is only God. Anything that you, the human being, has to create, you have to check. Yes, Dr. Sevier.
So you don't have to check an etrog? You assume that if it's off the tree, it's good?
Indeed, according to what we just said, because the etrog is perfect, the way God created it, you wouldn't have to check it. But how about 1 second? The etrog is not something that the human being doesn't get involved in. After all, if he doesn't water the tree and fertilize the tree, it may not grow well. So it is a bit man-made. It's in between. But an animal, or whatever it might be, as long as the human being is not influencing it, it's the way it is. So if the chazaka that's kosher, it's kosher. Not kosher is only when a human being touches it. So we create tefillin. You would have had to check it. Interesting, why not, according to the Bach. But on the other hand, we don't go ahead and create an animal. So therefore, you don't check it for most treifas. Continuing on, third point of view. One is only if you make a bracha. The second is if it's man-made. Third point of view is the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham says, "Ein somchim ala chazaka b'makom sheyachol levarer." The Magen Avraham says that if you can check, you should. But if you can't, you don't have to. And what's the example he brings? A topic very close to my heart. wasting time in shul. You've been there, no? You start the shul davening. Finally, who's going to be chazen? No one volunteers. Eventually, a guy gets up there. So it's already getting close to Shkia. You want to daven mincha. You get there, and he says, oh, let me open the siddur. And he starts working the pages. Boom, 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 boom. Oh, you got the right page. Then he's going to put on a talis. You check the tzitzis. So we're talking about like a 3-minute delay until this guy gets his act together. Says the Magen Avraham, that you don't have to do, because it's too much trouble. But if it's not too much trouble, namely it takes 5-10 seconds out of your time, you check. So one point of view is because of the bracha. The other point of view is if it's man-made. And the third point of view is if it's not too much trouble. The fourth point of view is another parish of the Magen Avraham, and that is the Lomikri Chazaka Dasui Pasek Bekol Shah. Magen Avraham says, and I think this is the best parish, if you have something that there's a very high probability that unfortunately it will be tarnished, you should check it. But if there isn't a high probability that it would be tarnished, you don't have to check it. So let's think about the cases. Tefillin, you put it on, you take it off, nothing's really going to happen unless you use that keeper clip like I told you. Tzitzis, you all know tzitzis. In my lifetime, I've seen 3 colors of tzitzis. I've seen white, tcheles blue, and black. Now, white was the way it was made. Tcheles was the way it was made. Why are there sometimes tzitzis strings that are black? Anybody? This is not the Haredi modern Orthodox explanation. Oh, they wear black, we wear white. No. Even if you're an anti-Zionist and you wear tcheles, it will be blue and white. Why do tzitzis strings sometimes get black? I'll tell you why. Because Bruce is a good man, and he read the Mishnah Berurah cold, and the Mishnah Berurah says in Simon Ches that you should wear your tzitzis out. So he wears his tzitzis out, and he's walking around and whatnot. Then he gets to shul, and in shul, he sits down on a chair, and the chair is a swivel chair. And the swivel chair, in order for it to swivel, it has a little grease, black grease. And he sits down every day, and he gets up, sits down, gets up. Eventually, he looks at the tzitzis, oh my gosh, I brought white and tcheles, and they're black too. Because if you wear your tzitzis out, they're going to get black. They're going to get black from the grease on the chair. They're going to get black from things spilling on it. Says the Magen Avraham, tzitzis, if you wear them out, by definition, they will get ruined. And therefore, you need to check them. Tefillin, by definition, are not subject to everything I good said. Because the tefillin, quite frankly, are black already. You wear it once a day. It doesn't really, except for the string, the strap on the shel rosh doesn't really hang down. You don't have to check because nothing's going to get ruined. So 4 points of view. Number 1, if you make a bracha, you need to check. The other point of view is, and nothing to do with the bracha, it has to do with man-made versus not man-made. The 3rd point of view is that if it's not too much trouble, and the 4th point of view is if it's indeed subject to be ruined, much easier. Arthur, you have a question?
Yeah, I was taught that, at least when I was living in Flatbush, that with regarding the Erev, if the Erev was down, that I would have to check my talis tzitzit before putting it on to walk the shul, because otherwise I'd be carrying my talit.
That's a very good point. Indeed, it has to do with more Hilchos Shabbos and less Hilchos Tzitzis. Namely, maybe you don't have to check your tzitzis to make a bracha, but to wear it in Rishus HaRabim on Shabbos, it has to be proper. If it's not proper, there's something wrong with it, you can't wear it. And it's better not to wear it.
Even though they allow for the dignity, if you noticed it, you continue wearing it because of the dignity of the whole thing. But
If it's a Rishus HaRabim Dirabbanan, namely a Carmelist, yeah. Like you said, Flatbush. Flatbush today has an Eruv. Not everyone holds from it, like every other Eruv in the world. There has to be a few people that don't hold from it.
Flatbush has 32 Eruv, 32 different Eruvs.
Where, in Flatbush?
Yeah.
Oh, not bad.
32, yeah.
Not bad. The first time I was in Brooklyn for Shabbos, I heard rumors about the Eruv. I didn't know. So I asked someone that I know from Brooklyn, and his answer was he couldn't say that it's not kosher. He couldn't say I don't hold from it because he came from an Hungarian background. And the Chasam Sofer says very explicitly, if you're Hungarian and you don't hold from an Eruv, you're not Bikoyrus. So therefore, he couldn't say that. So he said in Yiddish, whoever knows Yiddish knows the term, it's not Oyste Halten. which means it's not smooth. It's not an Eruv that's perfect. Later on in life, I learned there isn't one Eruv in the world that people don't fight about. So Flatbush is one of the many. Make a long story short, that has to do with Hilchos Shabbos, that you shouldn't potentially do an Isser because you're doing a mitzvah daseh. Nafkamina is very simple, and that is if you don't make a bracha. We mentioned it earlier. The Tos would say you don't need to check it, but others would say you do. I just wanted to end with one thought from Rav Osher Weiss. Rav Osher Weiss in a shiur on this topic, and he went much more expanding this particular topic to other places in halacha, which I said is very important. Do you check the facts or do you rely on the way it is? He quoted a Rashba. The Rashba at the end of the source sheet basically makes the following point. Says to Rashba that indeed, if you go ahead and you are checking things, it's a kiyum of Habe Boreach Mina Havera. You run away from a Havera because mitzvah go where it mitzvah, the Havera go where it Havera. Says the Rashba, Tzarich Lachush Shalayem Kemal Milim Ayin Min Ha'iser. You know, when you're about to shave with a proper machine, not a razor, you don't make a bracha, Asher Kedishanu V'mitzvot HaVetzivanu, to shave with a razor. Not to shave with a razor. And then you shave with a shaver. When you're about to eat kosher chicken, you don't make a bracha, Asher Kedishanu V'mitzivanu, not to eat treif. So says the Rashba, if you're guarding yourself from doing an iser, how do you show you're guarding yourself? You don't make a bracha. The answer is by checking. When you check the animal for treifis, when you check the tzitzis to make sure they're on properly, that's a kiyum of not just disregarding an iser, but actively doing something to prevent yourself from an iser. And I think that's very, very important at this time. And I'll just end with this. We're in the middle, unfortunately, of a terrible epidemic. It looks like the amount of sick people are going up per day, even in Israel. And indeed, it's very, very disheartening that we can't dance together, we can't shake hands, not to mention the fact that we can't be in shul as normal, masks are getting us all headaches. The bottom line is, you can look at it in one of two ways. You could say, we're staying away from people and from potential sickness. Or you could say, no, I'm fulfilling a mitzvah. Mr. Weiser is staying at home because he's older and he's what we call higher risk. That's a kiyum of an ishmartim and od lenaf shoteichem. He is guarding his body actively. For example, this year, Rosh Hashanah, the first day is on Shabbos. We won't blow the shofar. You can look at it in one of two ways. You could say, I am not blowing the shofar. I am staying away. Or you could say, no, I am actively fulfilling the edict of our sages not to blow shofar or take lulav on Shabbos. Says the Rashba, if you check for potential pitfalls, you are actively guarding yourself from an Avera. So therefore, checking tzitzis, we saw different points of view, but it could very well be that when you check tzitzis, you're actively staying away from the Avera of wearing a four-cornered garment without tzitzis. Gentlemen, it's been a pleasure. We will see each other be'ezrat Hashem next week. Rabbi Zef, I took 5 minutes, my apologies.
I have a question, sir. Not a question. Back in Denver, one of the rabbis, he was actually from New York. We have two days beyond Rosh Hashanah. And he felt it wasn't necessary, and he wanted to do away with it, but the reform did it first, that's why we couldn't do it. Is that stupid?
I don't think Judaism is based on convenience. I don't think that's a factor.
Thank you, Rabbi Grove.
I know it.